Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, I'll just say your name and your title.
Teresa Ruth Howard, I'm the founder and curator for Ma Ballet, Memoirs of Blacks in Ballet, as well as the artistic director for Pathways to Performance.
Yes, this show, Pathways to Performance, Exercising and Reframing the Narrative, is going to be coming to the Kennedy Center Eisenhower Theater on Tuesday, July 2nd and Wednesday, July 3rd. Hey, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
All right, so before we get into sort of, you know, what pieces are going to be performed this time, take a step back and provide sort of the background of how it, I think it started in like 2022. You know, talk about how you did the reframing the narrative thing back then. Like, I want to know like that initial year, how that came about.
Absolutely. I believe that we spent a year and maybe a half curating it. The director of dance programming at the Kennedy Center, Jane Raleigh, contacted myself and Denise Saunders Thompson with the idea of curating a week that would celebrate Blacks in ballet. The concept was to bring the three Black ballet companies that exist in the US, that's Dance Theatre of Harlem, Collage Dance Collective, and Ballethnic, along with, I had this idea to curate 10, 12 dancers, Black identifying, ballet dancers from professional companies to come together and work with choreographer Donald Byrd on an original composition. And that resulted in his work from Other Sons. The composer is Carlos Simon, who is the resident composer for the Kennedy Center. He's also an African-American man. And so from that whole week, we had a week-long festival. From that, I was going directly into our Ma Ballet Symposium, where I was launching Pathways to Performance, the choreographic program that works to identify and cultivate Black ballet choreographers, or Black choreographers who are actually working in the ballet idiom. And sort of Jane and I got to talking, and she loved what I was doing and the possibility for it. And 2 years later, we find ourselves here with five Black ballet choreographers on the program.
Awesome. Well, yeah, let's go. That's a perfect segue. Let's go right into the five choreographers, you know, that are featured. And as you list them, if you could, you know, list what the names of these, you know, world premieres or otherwise, you know, the titles of you know, the pas de deux, et cetera. So, yeah, who do we got and what are they showing?
Sure. So obviously, I wanted to bring back Donald Byrd's From Other Sons because it was such a success, and it sort of that experience that we built over that summer is sort of the foundation for what this is. I also work on studio culture and creating a healthier ecosystem inside the studio for dancer and choreographer. Then we have Jennifer Archibald, who it was the first Black female choreographer to be a resident choreographer for a ballet company. And I've known Jen for a long time and watched her development and her work. And I thought that she was a perfect fit, not just for creating a piece, but also for creating that studio culture as she works. Next, we have Kian Ross Gaines, who is the Associate Artistic Director of Pacific Northwest Ballet. He has choreographed a beautiful neoclassical pas de deux on two of the Pacific Northwest ballet dancers called Quick Pleasures. And it is very quick and it is a pleasure. Then we have two choreographic fellows from that original program that I launched right after Reframing the Narrative. We have Meredith Rainey. He is bringing Where They Meet, which is a beautiful sort of poetic work about community and different types of love, unrequited love, fraternal love, love of community, love of self. And bringing up the rear is Portia Adams, who was actually a dancer in the Reframing the Narrative program. So she worked with Donald Byrd. She did a choreographic program, and she has choreographed, I like to say it's almost like an amuse-bouche called Faintly Seen. It's only 4 minutes or 6 minutes long. And it's for four dancers, and it's quite lovely.
Great. It sounds great. Really great. Cool. And then where did the so those are the choreographers that are going to be showing their visionary work that they've sort of created. Who all makes up the actual dancing company?
That's an interesting question because you use the word company and we are kind of sort of pretending to be one. These are dancers from all over the world. We've got dan a dancer from Canada, a dancer from Spain. We've got the rest of the dancers come from across the United States dancing in different companies. So the work that I do in Ma Ballet has a lot to do not just with creating more diversity in the ballet field, but with actually sort of drafting a new blueprint for ballet. And through my work, I'm working with different companies. I mentor dancers, I follow dancers, and support dancers. And these are some of those individuals that I've known and have, established relationships with for years. So we have Corey Bouboniere, who is with Pittsburgh Ballet Theater, Miranda Silveria, who is a freelancer now, but I met her when she was with San Francisco Ballet. There is Kat Addison, who is a principal ballet dancer with Ballet West. Josh Bowden and Whitney Huell are both with Kansas City Ballet. Another young dancer I've known since she was 14, Raquel Smith, is with Collage Dance Collective. And so we have a troupe of what, 13 dancers who, some of whom are returning, and some are new to this process.
Gotcha. And the group that you mentioned that you founded, you keep saying Mob Ballet. That stands for MOB, Memoirs of Blacks in Ballet, correct? When did that start?
So that started in 2015. And so it started actually as we have a digital site that is an archive for the contributions of Blacks in ballet. So a lot of times people don't know that Black people have been in ballet since it began, actually. So we have a on mobballet.org, we have a digital timeline. And that starts in 1946 with a man named George Washington Smith, who was a mixed race dancer who actually premiered Giselle in Boston. So I wanted to show that, yes, Blacks have been in ballet since the beginning, and you might not know their names because historically the contributions of Black people or people of color oftentimes are muted. So I wanted to illuminate and give visibility to all the beautiful artists that have come before us and are presently making what will be history.
Awesome. Yeah. So it's a little bit of a history lesson of some of the people who've paved the way throughout. Not only the new artists showing off their work here, but all those have come before. That's great. Well, go a little more into that then, in what's in the name. I mean, it's great, but probably basically what you just said, but it'll be a good soundbite for me. The idea of why we're calling it reframing the narrative, just explain, why that's the perfect title.
So, reframing the narrative, that festival week that we did in 2022 was really, really highly successful on a number of different levels. Audiences loved it, enjoyed it, it was well attended. The dancers had a very transformational moment. They had not seen themselves in numbers like that. So, because it was so successful, we thought we would cash in on the branding of reframing the narrative and that it is an exercise in reframing the narrative. And that title wants to point out that sometimes people who are marginalized aren't actually writing their own story. And the story that gets written about them, i.e., the lack of Blacks in ballet, or the fact that maybe we don't like ballet, we don't understand it, or that we don't want to do it, is incorrect. And so we need to take the moment and have the agency to sort of scribe our own story. And so that's what we were doing. And this is an exercise in reframing the narrative. Because as we curated that program, which was my curation process is very invasive. I'm everywhere all at once. It involved the marketing department, the media department, the education department. We are now in the REACH building at the Kennedy Center, which is the social impact aspect of at the Kennedy Center. We asked Jane to pull all those entities together to support this program. That's not normally how the Kennedy Center works, but it created a possibility for them. And we wanted to continue that aspect to see, it's an exercise in how can the Kennedy Center work within itself differently? How can the Kennedy Center engage with the community differently in presenting programs? I'm involved in my own exercise with these choreographers and dancers to not only create beautiful works and present them, but to create a space that feels healthy and welcoming and provides everyone a level of agency. It doesn't necessarily flatten the hierarchy, but it does redistribute power so that everybody feels like they are a human in the space. And sometimes ballet doesn't do that. So these are all exercises that we're engaged in. I love the idea of an exercise because it implies that it's a space of learning and that mistakes will be made. We don't have to be perfect, which is another ballet thing, like we are striving for perfection. So exercises mean that we're working at something. We also have exercises for the audience when they come to engage with us in their learning how to look at work like the work that Pathways to Performance is presenting.
Awesome. Awesome. And speaking kind of, there's a quote on the website that attributed to you that kind of encapsulates everything you're saying. It says, quote, "We are not unicorns and we are not alone. We are the village." Explain what you meant by that.
Yes. Well, you know, because of the scarcity of Blacks in ballet, and I'll say ballet, and we can substitute different spaces that are historically white, right?
Sure.
When you are one of the only in a group of people, you tend to feel like a unicorn. When people don't believe that you either should be doing this or you are capable of doing it, and you are achieving at it, you feel like a unicorn. So we are not unicorns. That's the first part. We are the village is, it's sort of an adage that we have at Ma Ballet. I am creating a village. It comes from the African adage, it takes a village to raise a child. It takes a village to create and support a dancer. And so anytime Ma Ballet is creating a space or inviting people in, they become a part of our village. And I believe in active citizenship. So when I'm saying community, yes, we are going to hold you, but you have a responsibility to show up in that space, in that village, in that community, in a very specific way. So everything for me is both an invitation and an exercise.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I have, you know, more than enough to work with for this particular event, but final seconds, I want to know sort of who's your village, you know, community helping you get into it? Like, how did you get into it, you know, when you were younger? You know, who opened the door for you or even, you know, was it like a recital as a kid or something? I want to know sort of your origin story with it.
That's a really good question. And this is a question I will love to answer because I'm the baby of nine. I grew up in Philadelphia. And so there are six girls, three boys, and all of my sisters danced. And my mother loves to tell the story that I was 3 years old at one of their recitals and I refused to leave until she promised that I could do this thing. And so they took me to Philadelphia School of Dance, which is founded by Joe Myers Brown, a ballet legend and basically a pollinator of the dance world. And I began to train there until I was about 8 years old when my ballet teacher, Marion Suger, who was also the ballet teacher for Judith Jameson and Dolores Brown, pulled my father aside and said, you know, take her to Pennsylvania Ballet. She can be a ballet dancer. And so that's what we did. So I had a ballet father, not a ballet mother. You know, they dance moms. I had a dance dad,
right,
who learned not only how to advocate for me and protect me as, again, one of the only Black students in the school, But also learned technique, terminology. He learned dance history. He really supported me to every degree. And so I just continued from there and never, well, at a point stopped. But yeah, that's sort of my origin story.
I love it. I love it. And now you never know whose other origin stories, the next generation that you will spark by them coming to the Kennedy Center to this. It's great. It'll come full circle. Great. Just pretend that in the last seconds, pretend I'm not here and you're speaking directly to the listeners. Maybe they're in their car listening to WTOP. Just invite them on out to the Kennedy Center.
We would love, this is an invitation for you to become a citizen of our village. Please join us at the Kennedy Center at the Eisenhower Theater, June 2nd and 3rd for Pathways to Performance exercises in reframing the narrative.
Awesome. Hey, thanks for doing this.
Thank you, Jason.